الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praises due to Allah, the exalted, the majestic, and we ask Allah to send His peace and His blessings, to exalt the mention and to grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. Brothers in Islam, continuing with Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah al-Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayh, with the Sharh of Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, we have been dealing with the quality of mahabbah, love, and we're trying to prove the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah based on the textual evidences. Needless to say, we do not base our understanding on philosophy, nor do we base it on intellect, in opposition to the textual evidences, which is the calamity that has befallen upon the majority of Muslims around the world. And you'll be shocked, you know, you really don't believe that these people exist until you come in contact with them. And just recently, just to share with you, some individual has been emailing me. We're corresponding through email back and forth, and this individual is striving to convince me that everything that we're learning is wrong. Yani their aqidah is not that aqidah. This is a person who had learned, who had a sheikh, and the whole nine yards. And their aqidah is the aqidah of Asha'ira. And they say, how can you say Allah is above the creation? How can you say Allah is above His throne? You are limiting Allah. You are saying Allah is like His creation. And I'm saying, we're telling you, we don't believe Allah is like His creation. We believe laysa kamithli shay. This is why we don't have a problem. But these people consider me, you know, alaykum salam, and to consider us to be misguided. And they quoted some of their statements of their sheikh, some sheikh Bahrari, whatever his name is, Mahrari. According to him, we're all kuffar. We're kuffar. As soon as you say Allah is above the creation, above the throne, although this is what the Quran says, huh? Be careful now. They will say that we have went outside the boundaries of Islam. And Allah knows that this is not the case, because we are taking the evidences as they are. If you give them any hadith or any ayah, you'll see how they twist the meaning. I presented to them, look, Sahih Muslim, the hadith of the Jariya, the slave girl. The Prophet ﷺ asked her, where is Allah? She said, you know what she said? The person replied, he said, this hadith is da'if. I said, a sahih Muslim? Yani anytime you give them something authentic, they will find an exit to the not to accept it. You know, it's these people exist, they're here. You know, this is in the Mamlaka. Someone in the Mamlaka. These things we're learning, because we usually don't have discussion of aqidah with the average Muslim we come across, but people believe this. Almost the majority of Muslims are of the belief that is in opposition to the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is established through the Quran and the Sunnah and the understanding of the ulama of the early generations. And this is very fundamental. So I'm saying this so to re-emphasize the importance of understanding these things that we're dealing with, because believe me, there are people out there who believe the opposite. And unless we are educated about these issues, we will not be able to explain it to them. Furthermore, we will not be able to protect ourselves and our family members from deviance, because these things are spread, there's websites, there are books being authored, all negating that. And they call it Wahhabism. Okay, now we're dealing with Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, who was 700 years back, and Muhammad ibn Abu Wahhab was some 100 years back. So how could he be Wahhabi when he was way before Muhammad ibn Wahhab? See, you see what I'm saying? So this belief system that goes back all the way to the Imam Malik, Imam Hanifa, Imam Ahmad, they call them all Wahhabis. So just know what's going on out there. Anywho, we believe that Allah loves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and we mention a number of qualities. The last one we were dealing with, we said this verse everybody should have memorized by now, and maybe one of you will treat us with a treat by giving us the ayah, the chapter, and the number.
It is Surah Al-Imran, verse 31.
Aywa.
If you love me, if you love truly Allah, follow me.
Ayywa. Anyone knows it in Arabic? فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. continues, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and he will forgive your sins. But يعني the shahid here is say, if you truly love Allah, follow me, Allah will love you. Gotta have this down. You have to have this down and memorized. طيب. The Shaykh said, وَإِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ وَقَامَ بِعِبَادَتِهِ وَإِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهَ وَقَامَ بِعِبَادَتِهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُحِبُّهُ بَلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يُعْطِيهِ أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا عَمِلَ. The Shaykh said, dealing with that ayah, if the person loves Allah and he establishes his worship, يعني the worship of Allah, then verily Allah will love him back. Nay, but Allah will give him more than the deed. You will be given more than the value of your deed. Your deed may be insignificant, it may be something very little, but Allah will give you something abundant as a reward in return. يقول تعالى في الحديث القدسي, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith qudsi. Now hadith qudsi, first, the difference between the regular hadith, which they call hadith sharif, and hadith qudsi, is the qudsi is the statement of Allah through the wording of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. طيب, it's the statement of Allah, but not the Quran. Because usually the narration is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he said, صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي, pray as you have seen me pray. This is his statement. But when he says, يقول الله تعالى, and he, Allah says, and he will narrate something, not an ayah, but in a hadith, they call that hadith Qudsi. It's in reference to Allah, through the wording of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a hadith Qudsi, Allah Azza wa Jal says, من ذكرني في نفسه ذكرته في نفسي. Whosoever remembers me in himself, I will remember him in, يعني Allah will remember him himself. Allah himself will remember that individual. If you remember Allah, Allah will remember you. So this is the now, you remembering Allah, is that a big deal? You're just one of the millions of creation. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mention you, dhikr here is to mention. So you say subhanallah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention your name among the angels, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention your name to himself azza wa jal, as the hadith says, ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي نَفْسِ. This is a big deal. That's a big deal. So little deed you do, you will get all this abundance and reward. So very often we are negligent about this. Being honest with ourselves, we are negligent about this particular hadith. That's why you see the people racing after the salah. Only here. In 3 seconds he finished, subhanAllah 33, alhamdulillah 3, Allahu Akbar 33, and he's at the door. And we say, this is not what the dhikr is about. You gotta be mindful what you're saying, subhanAllah, 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 subhanAllah. To some extent we have to be يعني, tranquil in our manner of dhikr, so you will understand that Allah is remembering you. So it's not just trying to get it off your chest, as it is the case with most of us. Yeah, and you just want to finish it quickly and they think it's some exercise. This is not what it is. And you cannot imagine the Prophet ﷺ sitting there saying, subhanAllah, 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 like that. Can you imagine him like that? You know, come on. You can imagine him saying, subhanAllah. I mean, he feels it. He means what he's saying. So may Allah give us this understanding. وَنَفْسُ اللَّهِ أَعْظَمُ مِن نُفُوسِنَا. Allah's self is greater than ourselves, obviously. وَمَنْ ذَكَرَنِي فِي مَلَأٍ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي مَلَأٍ خَيْرٍ مِّنْهُمْ. And Allah says, whoever remembers me among a group of people, I will remember him among a group better than their group. يعني when we, now right now we're remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will remember us among His angels. The angels are better than us in a sense, because they don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we remembering Allah within ourselves in this particular group will make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remember us among those who are close to Him, the angels that are near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, this is a bigger deal than us mentioning or remembering Allah. وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ أَيْضًا مَنْ تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيْهِ أَنَّ مَنْ تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيْهِ شِبْرًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ ذِرَاعًا. Also in the hadith, whoever comes to me in a hand's width, I will come to him in arm's length. وَمَنْ تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيْهِ ذِرَاعًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ بَاعًا. And whoever comes to me in arm's length, I will come to him a ba'. A ba' is a distance. I don't know exactly how long it is, but it is longer than an arm's length, obviously. وَمَنْ أَتَى إِلَى اللَّهِ يَمْشِي أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ وَرْوَلَهُ. Whoever comes to Allah walking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hasten and run towards him. And of course you don't understand this in the literal sense, as it is obvious from the narrations, from understanding that it is nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you don't be imagining a person running or moving fast. طيب. So all these are indication that the little things that you do for the sake of Allah, if you have attained the love of Allah, then you will get in return much more than what you have bargained for, much more than you were anticipating. You do a little deed and you will get all these in return, and this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَنْ فَعَطَاءُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَثَوَابُهُ أَكْثَرْ مِنْ عَمَلِكَ. So the giving of Allah and His reward, the reward that He gives to His servant, is greater than your action, greater than your deed. وَفِي الْآيَةِ مِنَ الْأَسْمَاءِ وَالصِّفَاتِ مَا سَبَقَ فِي الَّتِي قَبْلِهَا. And in that ayah, we have from the names and attributes of Allah the same as the ones that came before. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, that's lafdul jalala, that's the ism, فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. يُحْبِبْكُمْ is the sifa, the attribute of love. So like وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, وَأَقْسِطُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. And here, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. So we both have the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla, lafdul jalala, and the attribute of love. الْآيَةُ السَّادِسَةُ, the sixth ayah. قَوْلُهُ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ. Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 54. Allah will bring a people whom He loves and they love Him. الفاء واقعة في جواب الشرط في قوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه. The فاء here is the conditional clause in answer to the following conditional phrase, which is, O you who believe, whoever amongst you turns back from his religion, he apostates from Islam, then verily Allah will bring about people whom He loves and they love Him. So this is the conditional thing. If you turn away from the deen, no problem, Allah will bring other people, and usually the Muslim reverts that you see nowadays, when some of the Muslims are not maintaining the deen, they're not doing the da'wah, ma fi mushkila, in a worldly sense, they will be gone. Allah will allow them to choose whatever they choose, and He will bring other people who will embrace Islam and become du'at. They will embrace Islam and they will strive for the deen more than those who were born into the deen. But this is when we don't fulfill these rights. If you fulfill these rights, then we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never waste our iman. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. And Allah was never to waste your iman, as it comes in Surah Al-Baqarah. So if you keep up with the teachings of Islam, as a person who was born into Islam, then of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will maintain you and will give you a portion of the goodness. But if you don't do it, then you'll be replaced with others. Wa alaykum salam. Tfaddal, tfaddal. Then you'll be replaced with others. طيب. أي إذا ارتدتم عن دين الله فإن ذلك لا يضر الله شيئا. If you turn away from the deen of Allah, this will not harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبون. Allah will bring people who love Him and He will love them. Actually the other way around, He will love them and they will love Him. يحبهم ويحبون, they will love Him, and يحبهم, He will love them, ويحبون, they will love Him. وهذا كقوله وأن تتولوا يستبدل قوما غيركم ثم لا يكونوا أمثالكم. This ayah is similar to another ayah in Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verse 38. And if you turn away from Islam and the obedience of Allah, He will exchange you for some other people and they will not be your likes. They will not be like you. فَكُلُّ مَنْ ارْتَدَّ عَنْ دِينِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَعْبَأُ بِهِ لِأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى غَنِيٌّ عَنْهِ. Anyone who turns away from the religion of Allah, Allah could care less about him, because Allah is self-sufficient. Allah is rich, self-rich of anyone, whether becomes a believer or a disbeliever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's majesty, Allah's greatness, Allah's authority, Allah's ownership of the dominions of the heavens and the earth is the same. The belief of a person or the disbelief will only benefit or harm who? The person. It will not benefit or it will not harm Allah Azza wa Jalla in any way, shape or form. Naam. بل يزيله ويأتي بخير منه. Rather, Allah will move him away and He will bring someone better than him. فسوف يأتي الله بقوم بدل منهم. Allah will bring people as a replacement, as an exchange for them. يحبهم, Allah will love them, ويحبون, and they will love him. وإذا كانوا يحبون الله ويحبهم الله فسوف يقومون بطاعته. If Allah loves them, if they love Allah and Allah loves them, then they will maintain his obedience. They will establish the obedience of Allah عز وجل. وتمام الآية, the continuation of this ayah in Surah Al-Ma'idah verse 54, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ, humble towards the believers, stern towards the disbelievers. They are humble towards the believers, stern towards the disbelievers. But some group of people have misunderstood this and they went to the other extreme. They are actually stern against the believers and they are humble with the disbelievers. They treat the Muslims as if they are the enemies of the state and as if they are the most evil of people. And they see a kafir, oh, he's mia mia, he's good man. And this is not the way it's supposed to be. Obviously, people of innovation, the people of bid'ah and the people of desires, there's a particular way for them to be treated as means of bringing them back though. You know, as means of trying to gain them again, or if it's a hopeless case, then, you know, that's a whole nother story. But generally speaking, most of the Muslims are ignorant. They are practicing bid'ah, not because they want to practice bid'ah, because they don't know any better. That's what everybody in their country does. So if you are going to have this attitude with them from the get-go, he will never want to come to you. So what you do is you try to bring him over with kindness and goodness and teach him the sunnah. If he brings, he accepts it, alhamdulillah. If not, you've done your job. But not from the beginning, you have this attitude. Furthermore, with the kuffar, yes, they are stern with the disbelievers, but not in the context of da'wah. When you're given da'wah, if you're going to be stern, no one will become Muslim. And the Prophet ﷺ was not like that. But those who are in war with us, those who are opposing us, those who are humiliating us or insulting us, these are the people that you know, as they say, you lay the smack down on them. And you know, you get these wicked people who, maybe Brother Jameel knows some of them through the email, you know, you get to some of these blogs and you see people insulting Islam, insulting the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, saying yani things that you would not even want to read or even say out loud in front of people. These individuals, you know, you teach them a lesson and you belittle them and you humiliate them and you be stern with them, because these are yani at a level of animosity against Islam and the Muslims. Unlike a kafir who may become a Muslim but doesn't know any better, he's waiting for the da'wah. Some people, they already learn about Islam, they don't like Islam and they fight Islam. These are the people you are stern with. You don't humble yourself to them, you don't try to be nice to him. You know, he doesn't like it, hit the road, Jack. Or there's a big wall, you know, down the street, and go beat your head against it. I'm not going to do anything for you to try to please you, because you are fighting against Islam and the Muslims. So this is our dignity that Allah gave us. We don't compromise that with anything. The Shaykh will give us some examples actually. أَمَّا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَذِلَّةٌ, with the believers, they are humble. يَخْفُضُونَ أَجْنِحَتَهُمْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, they lower their wings, which means that they humble themselves, they belittle themselves to the believers. وَيَلِينُونَ لَهُمْ وَيَتَطَامَنُونَ, and they gentle themselves towards them. وَمَعَ الْكُفَّارِ أَعِزَّةً أَقْوِيَاءَ لَا يُظْهِرُونَ الذِّلْ أَمَامَ الْكَافِرِ أَبَدًا. But with the disbelievers, they are stern. They never show humiliation with the disbeliever ever. And you know, many Muslims have a problem with this today. Again, I'm just saying this so we will have an idea about some of the diseases that we suffer from in order to rectify ourselves. You will find a Muslim will treat another Muslim who is from another background or nationality like the worst way. No lowering the wing, no humbling himself, as if he is his master, as if he owns him, as if that person is a slave and he is his master. But if a khawaja, as they call him, comes into his place, you know, one of these westerners or foreigners, he will become like a little bird. You know, you go down on the ground and he will almost lay himself so the man can walk on his back and get his job done. So this is among the sicknesses in the heart, that with the Muslim, because he's from this nationality, you know, you treat him a certain way. Then a kafir comes in, and that Muslim is a believer. Then a kafir comes in who's a Westerner, British or American or Canadian, and as if, you know, as if some big shot came in. This is nonsense. And these people are sick in their mind, sick in their understanding of the deen, and they have done the worst job of pushing the people away from Islam. This is the worst da'wah you could make, which is da'wah that will kick the people away from Islam. Because people say, what is this? This is racism. This is discrimination. And this is exactly what Islam came to destroy. This is exactly what Prophet ﷺ tried to destroy. When Abu Dharr, radiallahu anhu, he got in a fight with Bilal. And Bilal was an African, he was black. So Abu Dharr, during the time of anger, he called him son of a black woman. Bilal became upset with him. He told the Prophet ﷺ that what happened. The Prophet ﷺ told Abu Dharr, this is Sahabi Jalil, إِنَّكَ مْرُؤٌ فِيهِ جَاهِلِيَّةِ. You are a man that has some ignorance left in you. Then he realized his mistake, radiallahu anhu warḍah. They weren't arrogant, you know, said, oh whatever, oh Messenger of Allah. He realized, he said to Bilal, I would put my face on the ground so you can step on it. I would put my face on the ground so you can step on it, so you can teach me, you know, the consequence of what I said. Then he said, may Allah forgive you. And then they hugged each other and they both, you know, showed the brotherly love. But the idea is, because this was, yani during that time, it was still there, you know, that jahiliyyah of black and white and the difference. So because that remained, Prophet ﷺ, you know, with the Sahabi, Abu Dharr al-Ghafari, you know, he's a virtuous Sahabi, he told him, you are a man that has ignorance in you. And so Abu Dharr realized his mistake and he laid his face on the ground for Bilal to step on it. So in order, Prophet ﷺ was trying to break these boundaries of racism. And now you have some punk over here today, because on his passport it says that he is of whatever nationality. That means all the other Muslims are, you know, under his big flying wings, you know. You do this, you get up. I've seen them. You know, crazy people. Hey, what? Go get a... Why? Why, yaakhi, this could be in the sight of Allah 20 times better than you. Say, brother, barakallah fi, can you please get me a cup of water? Jazakallah. Why? But if who would he tell this to, an American who comes into his office, a kafir? No, Allah. He said, you want me to get you, make you some coffee? What do you want? Go get him gahwa, go get gahwa, jib tamar. So you get these crazy people, man. May Allah guide them. These people are available all over the place. And may Allah guide them and give them understanding of the deen. Jahiliyyah, this is jahiliyyah. As Prophet ﷺ called it, jahiliyyah. Tayyip. Malish, I get a little off on these things, because it's a suffering, man. You can't believe you see these things among the Muslims. You think this is only in the book you read. When you see it with your own eyes, you say, Hasbi Allah ni'm al-wakeel. These people exist, yani, in the Muslims, but they do. طيب وقد علمنا الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام وإذا لقيتموهم في طريق فاضطروهم إلى أضيقه. If you meet the disbelievers in a way, then cause them to go to the narrow side. Yani, if two believers are walking down the street and some 20 kuffar came by, you don't move out of the way. You continue in the middle and you make them move to the side. That's the way. The Prophet ﷺ, that's what he said. Why? Because you don't want to humble yourself to the disbelievers. So you wind up taking the side road, and so they will feel that they are the ones who are in charge, in authority. They are more dignified than you are. Rather, you can maintain your place and you let them take the side of the road. That's the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ. The Shaykh said, فَإِذَا لَقَاكُمُ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى. If you come across the Jews and the Christians, وَلَوْ كَانُوا أَلْفًا وَأَنْتُمْ عَشْرًا. Even if they were 1,000, you're only 10. نَشُقُّ هَذَا الْجَمْعِ وَلَا نَفْسُخْ لَهُمُ الطَّرِيقِ. We will continue in the middle and cause the... نَشُقُّ هَذَا الْجَمْعِ وَلَا نَفْسَ لَهُمُ الطَّرِيقِ. We will divide them. We are 10. They are 1,000. We will not go and give them the way. We will make them part their group, and we will maintain our place. بَلْ نَلْجَوْهُمْ إِلْ أَضْيَقِهِ الْنَيِّ. Rather, we make him take the side. Go on the side. فَنُرِيهُمْ الْعِزْ بِدِينَنَا لَا بِأَنفُسِنَا. But it's important. We show them the dignity in our deen, not in ourselves. Not because we are Muhammad bin Abdul Rahman or whatever. It's because of Islam. Not because of you. Because of the Islam that you're carrying with you, you are showing this particular method. عِزَّةً عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. نعم أعزة عفوا أعزة على الكافرين. They are stern with the disbelievers. لأننا نحن بشر وهم بشر. We are humans and they are human. حتى يتبين لهم أن دين الإسلام هو الظاهر وأن المتمسك به هو العزيز. Until it becomes clear to them that the religion of Islam is the one that will be dominant, the one that is dominant. عليكم السلام. The one that is dominant and the one who holds on to it is the one who is dignified. The one who is honored is the one who holds on to the teachings of Islam. يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. The ayah continues, they struggle and they fight in the way of Allah and never fear the blame of the blamers. the people who blame, you know, why are you doing this and why are you doing that. And we dealt last time the problem with some of the Muslims, particularly the du'at, who have went to extremes in trying to claim that Islam is peace, 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 and they went to the so far to say that there's no jihad in Islam. And Islam, jihad is only when the disbelievers are up in your, you know, around the corner trying to kill you, then you defend yourself, and they've limited jihad to that, and this is not true. And anyone who reads a biography understands that Islam was beyond that. It was about spreading Islam around the earth, and it was about establishing Islam all over the universe, and then those who like it, they may live under the rules of Islam, they will be given their rights, they will pay taxes, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? If they don't want to deal with all these things, then it's the sword. They fight, and then Allah will give victory to the believers. That's how it was done. So we don't deny that. We don't want to lie, because if you lie, it's going to backfire. Every time one of these people lied, you had a kafir who Allah decreed that he read Bukhari, a Muslim, and I seen this in one of the debates. Some guy, may Allah guide him, he's a good debater, but he denied some things. And then the man brought a hadith from Bukhari. Rasulullah said, I was commanded to fight the people until they bear witness that there's no God worthy of worship but Allah and Muhammad is Rasulullah. He said, what are you going to do? The guy said, well, we don't have to accept that. He said, this is a hadith, and a hadith, you know, may be good, may not be good. It goes against verses in the Quran. So he denied the hadith in Bukhari. You see, because he had continued to deny jihad and claim that there's no jihad in Islam until he reached a point where he was cornered. And then he had to lie. And if you lie like this, you're not given da'wah anymore. Now you're fooling yourself and you're fooling the people and the audience, and any Muslim will hear you later on, he's going to say, why? Why you did this? So we keep it real. We say, listen, if you have a problem with jihad, I'll bring you the Bible. And I will produce for you hundreds of verses dealing with Moses being commanded to kill animals, everything that walked on earth, except virgin girls. So if you have a problem with that, then here's a problem with you. We don't have this in Islam. We don't touch the woman. You know, we don't kill the woman. We don't kill the old men. We don't destroy a house. But they were commanded to destroy everything. Even Jesus, as in one of the things, he was described, he said, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I came to bring fire. And I wish it was already kindled until I separate between a father and his son. That's what Jesus said. So they don't know about these things. Usually it's the Jews and the Christians complaining about terrorism and jihad. We say, listen, if you wanted to talk about jihad, look what the Bible says. You have extreme violence in the Bible, which we don't have in Islam. We have rights. We don't have treachery, as we dealt before. We're not treacherous. We will not betray you. We do things legitimately. And when we fight, it's men on men. You know what I'm saying? And if you go for peace, we go for peace. If you don't want to fight, we don't want to fight. So, you know, we have some guidelines which they don't have. So if you have knowledge of these things, you don't have to lie. You will not have to lie. And if you say the truth, Allah will support you. Because what's the benefit of lying? It's not going to benefit us. So these individuals, Allah says, they fight in the cause of Allah, and they're not afraid of those who would blame. Say, oh, that's what it is, akhi. You don't like it, Allah will judge you on the day of judgment. You don't like Islam, ma fi mushkila. Don't embrace Islam. We gave you the da'wah. You don't want to become Muslim, that's fine. But on the day of judgment, you enter Jahannam. For me to lie for you, to you, so you can become a Muslim, I don't need to do that. I tell it to you as it is. You like it, barakallah fiqh, it's you, for you, your guidance. You don't like it, ma'a salama. Khalli walli. يجاهدون في سبيل الله كل من قام ضد دين الله من كافر وفاسق وملحد ومارق يجاهدون. They fight in the cause of Allah, everyone who goes against the deen of Allah, whether it is a disbeliever or a wicked person or a mulhid, an atheist, someone who, you know, like a communist or something of this nature, and anyone who basically has a problem. وكل إنسان يقابلونه من السلاح بما يليق به. And they deal with each individual with a weapon that is befitting to him. So sometimes jihad is in the pen. And very often nowadays jihad is in the pen. So you go against the liars, the disbelievers, the hypocrites, and you do jihad with writing, by refuting them, showing the truth to the people, clarifying it, jihad with the tongue, and so forth. The Shaykh will give us some examples. فَمَنْ قَاتَلَهُمْ بِالْحَدِيدِ وَالنَّارِ قَاتَلُوهُ بِالْحَدِيدِ وَالنَّارِ. Whoever fights against them with iron and fire, then they will fight against them with iron and fire. ومن قاتلهم بالجدال والخصام الكلامي جادلوه بمثل ذلك. Whoever fights against them with argumentation and debate, then they will fight with them accordingly. And may Allah have mercy on those who have fulfilled that. فهم يجاهدون في الله بكل نوع من أنواع الجهاد. So they strive in the cause of Allah in every aspect, every kind or form of jihad. And we said jihad is not what the kuffar claim to be, holy war. There's no holy war in Islam. You hear jihad, holy war. Jihad means struggle. And struggling is a very encompassing term which includes the jihad that you know, which is qital, fighting, harb, war. We must know these words. Harb is war. Qital is fighting. Jihad is neither, but could be both if we are on the battlefield. Then it is called jihad. Otherwise, mujahadat al-nafs, struggling against one's desires, oneself, is a jihad. You see what I'm saying? So, particularly speaking, jihad is more encompassing. So whenever you see a kafir in his email or something you receive, he says, jihad, holy war, you must first make this correction. Say, jihad is not holy war. We don't have anything called holy war. We have qital, Muslims fighting against the disbelievers if it is required. Otherwise, jihad is a much more encompassing term than just you limiting it to qital. Qital is one aspect of jihad. Yani every qital is a form of jihad, but not every jihad is a form of qital. But qital, qaf ta alif lam, yaqtul, to kill, qital, killing, fighting against one another. Na'am. فهم أيوة ولا يخافون لومة لائم لا يخافون نقد الناس عليهم يقولون الحق ولو كان على أنفسهم. So they are not afraid of the people's criticism or blame. They say the truth even if it is against themselves. They say the truth even if it is against themselves. لكنهم يستعملون الحكمة في هذا الجهاد ويرومون الوصول إلى الغاية. But now here where we have to be delicate, because when we say that there's jihad, then you get a bunch of foolish individuals who don't even know anything about jihad, who run out in the street killing innocent Muslims and killing people and blowing up places and saying that this is jihad. You join the army of a particular government, then they consider you to be a kafir upon becoming part of the army, so your blood is lawful, so no problem in killing you. Then again we go to the other extreme. You see, that's why it's important to learn the middle path. We don't say that there's no jihad, but again, jihad is not what every Muslim is doing out there in the world today in the name of Islam, from killing innocent people in the name of Islam. Because we don't endorse that. We don't support that. We do not agree with that. Because jihad has some guidelines, and it is not about killing people buying vegetables at a supermarket, or people traveling on a train going to work. This was never the case. Jihad is on the battlefield with men who are fighting against you, not the old people and the regular individuals who are not in the state of war. So we must understand that. So the Sheikh said they use hikmah, wisdom, in the jihad, and they seek the objective of this jihad. They're not only concerned with the thing, what are you trying to aim at? Are you going to attain a benefit? Are you really going to establish anything? Or simply get some bloodshed? Because we don't want to just get the bloodshed if we're not going to establish a goal. فَإِذَا رَوَا أَنَّ الدَّعْوَةَ تَسْتَوْجِبُ التَّأَخُّرُ فِي بَعْضِ الْأُمُورِ تَأَخَّرُوا. So if they see that the da'wah, that the propagation requires that you hold back on some things, you hold back. طيب. So it is situational. وَإِذَا رَوَا أَنَّ الدَّعْوَةَ تَقْتَدِ اللِّينَ فِي بَعْضِ الْأَحْوَالِ اسْتَعْمَلُوا. And if they see that the propagation requires that you are gentle in some areas, then they use gentleness. لأنهم يريدون الوصول إلى غاية معينة, because they have a particular goal and aim that they are striving to attain. والوسيلة حسب ما تقتضيه الحال, and the method is based on what the situation requires. What you do is based on the situation, as they say, لكل مقام مقال. For each situation there's a particular thing to say. You cannot address all the people the same. You cannot speak to this like right now you. I cannot come and bring a bunch of new Muslims who just barely entered Islam and have all these discussions with them, because it will be a fitna for them. So what are you talking about? They don't know anything. And you don't go to some ulama and you give them what I'm giving them. They're going to say, man, go home. You know, we know all this thing already and more. So then depending on your audience, you must also act accordingly. And this is in the da'wah. When you give da'wah, they're not the same. You know, a brother from the Philippines who may be a Catholic Christian originally, and you want to give him da'wah about something, your approach with him may be different than a communist. Not maybe, will be different than a communist from some China, for example, whose whole understanding is unlike the Filipino in this case. So each individual requires having knowledge of what this person is about in order for you to give da'wah accordingly. And so it is situational. ثُمَّ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. That is the grace of Allah which He bestows on whom He wills, and Allah is all sufficient for His creatures' needs, the All-Knower. This was Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 54. وَفِي الْآيَةِ مِنَ الْأَسْمَاءِ وَالصِّفَاتِ مَا سَبَقَ الَّتِي مَا سَبَقَ فِي الَّتِي قَبْلِهَا وَزِيَادَةً أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَكُونُ مَحْبُوبًا. This ayah includes what was mentioned in the previous ayat. Ma'alash ya akhwan, the dars is here. Whatever the ayah speaks about of the names and the attributes of Allah, the same as the ayah that preceded it, which is, what is the asma? The names? Which one? Lafdu Jalala, Allah. But you remember the ayah? فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ. So the Lafdu Jalala is the name of Allah. The attribute?
Love.
But the Shaykh said, and the fact that Allah is loved. In the other ayat, we were just saying that what you do will bring about Allah's love. Now there's an addition, وَيُحِبُّونَ, and they love Him. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being also loved. طيب. Seventh ayah, قَوْلُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفًّا كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْصُوصٌ. What surah is this? Surah As-Saff, Ahsant, verse number 4. Verily Allah loves those who fight in His cause in rows or ranks, as if they are a solid structure. بُنْيَانٌ مَرْصُوصٌ. Solid structure, like bricks interlaced with one another. هذه الآية في سورة الصف وسورة الصف في الحقيقة هي سورة الجهاد. The Shaykh said this ayah is in سورة الصف. سورة الصف, the rows or the ranks. And he said the سورة الصف is in reality the chapter of jihad. لأن الله تعالى بدأها بالثناء على المقاتلين في سبيله. Because Allah began this ayah, the surah, by speaking on praising those who fight in His cause. ثم دعا إلى الجهاد في آخرها. Then Allah called to jihad and the end of the surah. ثم ذكر بين ذلك أن الله سيظهر دينه على كل الأديان ولو كره المشركون. Then Allah mentioned that He will make His religion victorious and dominant over all other religions, even if the disbelievers hate it. And you know what? They hate it. They hate it so much that you will not believe how much hatred there is in the world against Islam and Muslims. It's almost like a dream. يعني all the religions in the world, you know, a Hindu may not hate a Christian, he may not hate a Buddhist, they may not hate each other, but all of them will come together to hate Islam. All of them will agree to hate Islam. And you see Hindus, they have problems with the Muslims. Jews, they have problems with the Muslims. Christians, they have problems with the Muslims. Everybody in the world has a problem with the Muslims. Why? Because people hate the truth. As Malik, the guardian of the fire, he will say when they tell him, وَقَالُوا يَا مَالِكُ لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكُ قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ لَقَدْ جِئْنَاكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَكُمْ لِلْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ. They will say, oh Malik, let your Lord destroy us. He say, verily you will remain. Verily we have brought to you the truth. But most of you used to hate the truth. That's what it is. Islam is the truth. And people will hate the truth because of the wickedness that they have within themselves. But Allah says that He will make His deen victorious and dominant and available even if the disbelievers hate it. Alhamdulillah, with all the propaganda against Islam, with all the bad reputation that the Muslims have in the Philippines, still at the Dawah Center every week, Allahu A'lam, have 3, 4, 5 Filipinos enter into Islam. And particularly there, there's a very, very bad image for the Muslims. And usually they're oppressed. You know, it's all part of the propaganda. They make them seem like they are some monsters. And in reality, they are the ones who are being oppressed and they're being taken out of their land and they're not given their rights. Yani, a long story. Even if they may have some deviation, Allahu A'lam, but they're not always wrong as it is made to seem. But still, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides these particular brothers from that particular background into the deen of Allah. With all the propaganda, same thing with all over the world. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. ثم ذكر نعم إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفًّا. Verily Allah loves those who fight in His cause in ranks. لَا يَتَقَدَّمُ أَحَدٌ عَلَى أَحَدٍ وَلَا يَتَأَخَّرْ حَتَّى فِي الْجِهَادِ. No one goes be ahead of anyone, nor does anyone go behind, even in jihad. They all stand in rows. In rows. وَالصَّلَاةُ جِهَادٌ مُصَغَّرٌ. And salah is a minor form of jihad. It's the smaller jihad. فيها قائد يجب اتباعه. It has a leader which you must follow. Now look at the Shaykh's mashallah's knowledge, how he brings the relation between both. فإن لم تتبعه بطلت صلاتك. If you don't follow the imam, your salah will be invalidated. It will be void. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أما يخشى الذي يرفع رأسه قبل الإمام أن يحول الله رأسه رأس حمار أو يجعل صورته صورة حمار. Is not he who raises his head before the imam, is he not afraid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his head the head of a donkey, or he will make him in the image of a donkey? This, what the scholars call it, wa'id, yani threat, yani the consequence of that, this shows it's haram. You want to know how something is haram? You look at the consequence of that action. This is a big problem if you become in this particular fashion. This is an indication about the danger of one racing with the imam. And this is a problem that is very common in the masajid today. You see the brother, يعني the imam is not even done with his Allahu Akbar, the brother is already down making sujood. He's on the ground before the imam. Although the sahaba said, we used to not even move until the Prophet ﷺ had his forehead established on the ground. يعني not only he will go to sujood, he will be in the state of sujood, then they will move to go down. Not with the imam. After the imam is completed, then you initiate. And this is regarding the whole salah. So you find people racing with the imam. Before he raises his hand, some people want to be funny. I call them the funny people. They want to show us that they know the Quran. يعني you see, wallah, you see amazing things in the masjid. He wants to show us that he knows the Quran. So when the imam is, you know, we're about to stop, he puts his hand down already. Yeah, you see them. He put his hand down already. And then very often the imam continues. Then he goes back. Yes, Sheikh, why? Le, why? Le, follow him. Your job is to follow this man. What is this? Wallah, I've seen a brother do this the whole salah. Four or five times he put his hand. Every time you think the imam stopped, the imam continues. So he put his hand back. So it's just an exercise now in the salah, yes, Sheikh. Keep your hands here. When the imam is done, he goes to this, then you move after him. So there's no cleverness in trying to move before the imam. Or you see a person, you know, he's standing, the imam, he got up, you see people halfway down. You know, racing with the imam. And you know what's funny? One brother gave a talk in our local masjid after the salah. He said something very interesting, I never thought of it. He said, ya akhi, let's say you race with the imam. Are you going to finish the salah before him? Whatever you do, you cannot finish salah until he does the tasleem. So what's the point of going through all this? Yani either way, you're with him until the end. So what's the point of rushing, trying to beat the imam? This is common problem. So ya akhwan, you know, we be patient. We wait for the imam to continue fulfilling that rukun, that pillar. Then when he is in that state, we go. When he says Allahu Akbar, he goes to ruku'. Once he's in ruku', then you go to ruku'.
After.
Not with. Rather, the scholars say you try to bring, it depends on whether you can see him or not. If you cannot see him, you depend on hearing.
Yes.
Once he's done with Allahu Akbar, he has to finish Allahu Akbar, then you begin moving. But sometimes the imams, they differ. Some of them say Allahu Akbar, then he does ruku'. Some of them does it while he's moving, which is what he's supposed to do. Some of them says Allahu Akbar after he's in ruku', because he wants to catch the mic. Huh? So then this is also, yani, you have to try to study the situation. Whatever the case may be, you want to go to that position after he has already been in that position. All throughout the salah. Otherwise you fall under that particular threat or from the Prophet ﷺ that you will know, you will become in that particular fashion. طيب. وَالصَّفُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ نَظِيرُ الصَّفِ فِي الْجِهَادِ. The row in the salah is equivalent to the row in the jihad. وكان الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يصفهم في الجهاد كما يصفهم في الصلاة. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to place them in rows in jihad the same way he would do so in the salah. والبنيان كما قال الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يشد بعضه بعضا. The bunyan, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم described it, he said the believers are like that. They strengthen one another. يتماسك بعضه ببعض, they're you know holding on, they're touching each other. ولهذا قال كأنهم بنيان مرصوص فليس كالمفرق فالمرصوص أشد تماسكا. That's why Allah called them as if they are a strong structure, solid structure. Unlike that which is separated or divided, then of course this is more loose, and you know we want to be grouped. Similarly, another issue related to the salah is the position of the ankles. Many Muslims have a misunderstanding about this particular ruling, and so he believes that his feet have to be parallel to one another, and the distance of I don't know how many fingers he has, and so whoever's around him, that's none of his business. And you get people telling you, khalas, you know, my shoulder's with you, mind your business. But if you open Riyadh al-Salihin and you go to the chapter dealing with the salah, you will find a statement either to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu or Anas ibn Malik. He said, we used to at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stand next to each other, shoulder to shoulder and ankle to ankle. Al-Ka'b ma' al-Ka'b. The ankle with the ankle. This is the sunnah. That's the whole idea of لا تدع فروجات للشيطان. Don't leave any gaps for the shaitan. Don't leave any gaps for the shaitan. So when you leave gaps, that's where the shaitan is going to enter. So you know, many people don't do this today. If you're praying next to another brother who knows the sunnah, then you keep your ankles with one another, inshallah. And you don't make a big deal out of it. It's just natural, that normal that you do it in this fashion. Na'am. فهؤلاء الذين علق الله المحبة لهم بأعمالهم لهم عدة صفات. Those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made love conditional towards them have a number of attributes. أولا يقاتلون فلا يركنون إلى الخلود والخمول والكسل والجمود الذي يضعف الدين والدنيا. First, they strive, they strive, they fight, they struggle. So they are not lazy. They do not lean towards laziness and you know, all these four words, actually I can only think of one English word for them, kasal, which is laziness, being lazy, being tired, unenergetic. You know, you don't have the energy to do anything. And that is means of being weak, both in this dunya, in this religion, and in the dunya. ثانياً الإخلاص. Secondly, their sincerity to Allah. لقوله في سبيله. In the cause of Allah. Not في سبيل الدنيا. Not so, you know, they could have a title that I'm a shaheed or I'm a mujahid. They do this for the sake of Allah. لتكون كلمة الله هي العليا. So the word of Allah will be the most supreme. That is the intention of jihad. Not for someone to be praised or for someone to be said about him, Wallah, you're courageous, you were a tough boy. None of that stuff. You fight for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to establish his deen, and no other objective along with that. That's the only one. Of course, then you may want to get reward in terms of the war booty and things of this nature. The scholars say there's no harm in combining with both. But the main intention should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثالثا يشد بعضهم بعضا. The third quality that Allah loves is that they are strengthening one another. They are strengthening one another.
Unity.
لقوله صفا, because Allah said in rows, in ranks. رابعا أنهم كالبنيان والبنيان حصن منيع. Fourthly, they are like the solid structure, and the solid structure is a strong fortress. Fortress, you know, that prevents people from entering. خامسا لا يتخللهم ما يمزقهم لقوله مرصوص. Fifthly, nothing goes in to separate them, because Allah says they're marsus, they're so close to one another that there's nothing that can enter and separate them. هذه خمس صفات علق الله المحبة لهؤلاء عليها. These are five qualities which Allah made His love conditional to the availability of these five qualities. Allah will love people who have these five. خلاص. First, they fight in the sake of Allah, they're not lazy. Second, they do it for the sake of Allah. Thirdly, that they strengthen one another. Fourthly, they are solid structure. And fifthly, they do not let any gaps. There are no gaps. الآية الثامنة.
It's not that Allah loves the person who has a class, or the person who loves, who is not lazy, but it's all these conditions.
All of these five. All of these five must be available for these particular individuals to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The eighth ayah, we will postpone till next week inshallah, which is وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودِ in Surah Al-Buruj. And this is a very important ayah to understand, particularly those of you who are involved in da'wah to Christians. The Surah Al-Buruj, we will get it inshallah next week, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal. We will postpone that till next week inshallah. سائلين الله عز وجل القبول والإخلاص والتوفيق لجميع المسلمين وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك, أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت, أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
the sixth one.